This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. You are listening to campus and community radio radio broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. My name is Nicole Hines, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today. We are, you know, three weeks into Black History Month, and we are continuing to honor the experiences, achievements, and contributions of Black communities in Canada while deepening our collective understanding of the history and impact on Canadian society. So to kickstart this show, I'm actually going to introduce you to some Black Canadian women who are either doing amazing things or they have done some amazing things. And you may be hearing their name for the very first time. So first, I'd like to introduce you to Angela Grogran. As a way to educate the community of Port Hope, North Cumberland County, and the town of Cobourg, Ontario, Angela diligently pushed the need for these communities to recognize the contributions Black people had made to the area. It actually took her years to gain support from the communities that I just mentioned, but in 2024, Angela's efforts resulted in getting Port Hope to raise the Pan-African flag during Black History Month that year. And then a couple years later, in 2026, Angela Grogran, as well as others, raised the Pan-African flag in Cobourg, Ontario, to mark this year's celebration of Black History Month. So here's an interview that she did with Dan Jones from CFWN 89.7 FM in Cobourg, Ontario.
Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. Black History Month is in full swing in Northumberland County with the raising of the Pan-African flag in Cobourg and Port Hope. But for Angela Grogan, this month is about learning more of the rich contributions Black people have made to the area.
For me, Black History is a time of reflection, learning and recognition of a history that I knew little about. It is a time to honor the history, contributions, resilience and leadership of Black communities across Canada and also right here in our local community of Northumberland County.
So then how do you honor that?
We honor it in many ways. It began in 2024 when I realized there was no official recognition of Black History Month in our county, and I wouldn't even go, and it might be anywhere east of here. I started off by petitioning to the municipality of Port Hope to proclaim February as Black History Month in our municipality and to raise the Pan-African flag as a symbol. Then in 2025, I extended that same petition to the county of Northumberland and again this year to the county, to the town of Cobourg. I must say, even though it might sound commendable, I don't think it should have been based on advocacy for this recognition to be given, because we have a history of early settlers in our county that has been either erased or buried in the archives. And I am not sure if our listeners are following me on my 28-day series. I take pride in knowing that I dedicated almost close to 6 months in researching Northumberland County's history that has excluded Black people.
Angela, give us some of the history that you've researched about prominent Black people in the county?
If you look at my first series on day one, I looked at the pioneer people and the first settlers that came to Northumberland via the railroad, freedom fighters. They came with a number of different reasons, just like how other immigrants have come to Canada. So if we look at day one, I'm pulling it up because that's who I am, pulling back up my notes. If we look at day one, we will see that there's a number of prominent families who came here and are still living here. And their names could sometimes be recognized by people in the community. And I'm not saying they're directly related, but I'm just saying that, yes, we see that the history of Black history is rooted in Northumberland County. And I use that also as a theme of my Black History Month presentations. So when we look at local historical research documents, you had families such as the Huffmans, Longsberry, and Hornback families living in and around Cobourg, Port Hope, Beaudley, and Hamilton townships. These families were not just passing through, they were rooted. It is stated that the Longsberry family settled near Harwood, and some Black settlers in the northern, and some of them were farmers. The Huffmans live in the Hamilton Township, and some of their family members are buried in Beaudley Union Cemetery. The records also list early Black individuals connected to Port Hope, including Edward Berry. These facts are real, and they're woven into our shared history. And I take great pride in this one because I moved to Port Hope about 13 years ago, and one of my good friends always teased me, you would never belong because you would need three generations of family buried in the local cemetery. So when I was doing my research and I discovered all this, I thought, here you are, I do belong, even though they're not my family.
How does it make you feel, though, that this is now getting out?
Well, I think it's now getting out because I took the deliberate, I won't say ownership because I don't own it, but I used some of the experiences that I encountered in the county and in my town to investigate, to find out why is it that people believe that Black people doesn't, or are new immigrants, or new migrants coming in from Toronto and other cities to Port Hope and to Northumberland County. Because if you look back, the records also stated that there was a William Waddell, and he established a barbershop in Cobourg called the Cobourg Bath before 1848. And it described him as a Black entrepreneur. Then they give detailed records of ownership of the Albert House and the concert rooms on King Street East in Port Hope. So when history is not fully told, it shapes who is seen as belonging and why their stories do not matter.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones. Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg.
And that was Dan Jones chatting with Angela Grogan. I really commend her for persevering and like not giving up and finally being able to get the recognition that should have been, you know, received years and years ago. So now I'm going to introduce you, or perhaps reintroduce you, to another Black woman who did incredible things. I am going to introduce you to Daisy Peterson Sweeney. So Dr. Daisy Aletha Peterson Sweeney was a Canadian classical music and piano teacher known for having taught many of the most notable figures in Canadian jazz music. Born Daisy Peterson in Montreal, Quebec in 1920, her students included Oliver Jones, Ken Skinner, Joe Seeley, Reg Wilson, and her very popular brother, Oscar Peterson. So here is an excerpt from a video this was made back in September of 2017 in honor of her.
The piano was a way to earn a living.
So my father said he'd get it and pay so much a month on it. So we did, but then one month he couldn't pay. And when he went for his pay, they had seized it all. Naturally, we couldn't eat. And I remember my mom said, stay in bed because, you know, we wouldn't feel so weak, and we stayed in bed.
Daisy worked as a maid to put herself through music school, spending $3 of her weekly salary of $4.50 so she could graduate. Her brother Oscar was one of her first pupils.
Daisy would come home with her lessons, and she in turn would pass on to us what she had learned from the teacher at that time.
She opened a studio of her own, and soon she was making a name for herself as a teacher who demanded a lot, but who gave back even more.
She knew just how to handle children. You know, she was so easy with them, and she didn't like frighten you off or scare you. She had a way of encouraging you, but quietly, nicely, politely.
Of all the kids she taught, both privately and at the Negro Community Center.
She has a way about her that somehow, I don't know how she does it, she's able to imbue them with a belief that they can play the piano.
Two.
Daisy certainly is gifted in educating other people.
An arpeggio is what kind of a chord? A broken chord. And that's what an arpeggio is, a broken chord. So let them hear it again. With children, they're always singing. You can tell they're jumping, hopping, and singing. They don't just hop without singing something. And or they call you, they'll say, Mary.
Daisy Sweeney loves the fact that children respond so naturally to music. But even more than that, Daisy simply loves to teach.
If you can give someone something to live by and live with, I think this, and no one can take that from you like any education. Once you have it, you have it. And I think this is, it has given me a great deal of satisfaction.
Linda Niles was one of Daisy's pupils. Music is still a big part of Linda Niles' life. She's a member of the Good News Singers, a new gospel group that helped to celebrate Daisy Sweeney's contributions. Along with a whole parade of Sweeney's former students, Linda remembers Daisy Sweeney as more than just a music teacher.
Oh, she was like a mentor for so many of us. You know, she was a spiritual advisor and problem solver and just a person to help you grow up.
I think she's one in a million. She's strict with you on the days when you hadn't done your practicing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she let me know I didn't practice. And there's no way I could bluff her. You know, she could tell whether you practiced during the week. Yeah, she had that. She could see it in your eyes, you know, even without touching the piano.
It's helped to shape some notable careers. Like that of her brother, Oscar Peterson, and Canada's top jazz artist of the year, Oliver Jones. And through all her pupils, Daisy has left a mark on music in Montreal.
To play next door, right next door to the Petersons. I used to sit in the porch and listen to him practice as a youngster. And I think it was then that I really became fascinated with what can be done on the piano.
Force you to hear if you can't. They say in that terms that he's great because of me. You can't make a rose, but you can nurture it. But should you be credited for the rose? The rose is the rose. And the same thing with great men.
And the quote, you can't make a rose, but you can nurture it. I absolutely love that quote from Dr. Daisy Sweeney. And if you do have some time and want to learn more about her, you'll find this tribute video easily on YouTube. Now, my next person that I would like to reintroduce you to is a Black Canadian female artist who I've played music from on a previous show of Intravenous before. Yolanda Sargent is a writer and musician of Caribbean descent based out of Calgary, Alberta, and also known as the Queen of Lo-Fi Soul. That's a genre that she and her producer, Comrade, aka Evgeny, came up with because they were unable to find an appropriate label that fit their eclectic style. The duo infuses jazz, soul, funk, dancehall, hip-hop, all my favorites, by the way, and other genres into a unique sound that blends the old and the new. Sargent and Comrade were awarded a one-week residency at the National Music Center in Calgary, and that is where their third album, Lo-Fi Future, came to light. Let's take a listen to a few tracks from the album.
Baby, let's take this one way. We were so unsure, unrealistic expectations expressed through uneven proportions and less than linear lines. We emphasized the highlights and soft and graphic shadows, expressing an idea of what life could be. Although the pen made things feel more permanent, we set out to create a custom palette of deep purples, magenta, cinnamon, pinks, and oranges. Windows painted into the soul, revealing all darkness, a different reality of what is. But the truth is, you didn't have to paint me a picture to show me I loved you before I met you. Like the smell of roses without knowing what a flower is, subtle and sweet in the spring air.
I will travel through space and time just to make you mine.
Yours through every phase of life, even past ones. We connect under the starry nights, this is lasting. Protecting it until the time is right. When the stars align, when the stars align, just know you're on my mind. Our energies will find each other, we are intertwined. So I stay inclined to wait for them one days or some days. Looking up at the sky on a Sunday, hoping I find you in this mundane world. Or some say true love don't exist. I felt you before, that's why my heart still persists. The loneliness worth it. End of this journey perfect. With you beyond the surface, I'm drawn, this was on purpose. No accident. Paved roads, meanwhile I'm traveling. You are my destination. Rewards for being patient by the universe. I trusted and let it guide. Let's chill somewhere and watch the stars align.
I would travel through space and time just to make. If
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
This is Bird Note. A forest in New Zealand rings with the sound of bellbirds, whose indigenous name is Korimako. Korimako are 8-inch mossy green birds with dark wings and tail, a purple sheen on the face, and red eyes. They use their down-curved beaks and brush-tipped tongues to feed on nectar from flowers, which they pollinate while they feed. Many birds sing together, especially in the morning. Pairs sing duets, and a pair may countersing with its neighbors, perhaps letting them know that this patch of land is taken. It all builds to a brilliant, ringing dawn chorus. Korimako populations were drastically reduced in the 19th and early 20th century by disease and rats. Thanks to predator control, their numbers are increasing in some places. So their brilliant songs may ring through forests for years to come. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at BirdNote Radio.
You're tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territory. Okay, so let's go through the tracks that we heard from Sergeant and Comrade before I go into my next share. So first we heard in that set, it was Wake Up, followed by Traveling in Space. And then lastly, the set rounded out with When the Stars Align. So, on Intravenous, I do love to share Canadian stories and spotlights. But I also love to share information about events that are or may